Radio crew members, what it be?
What it do, baby?
Yo, this is gonna be the best fucking podcast ever. And here's why. Andy finished Borderless!
God damn. I don't know that I've heard you that excited on this podcast yet.
Dude! All right, so the
I'm aware of how long it took me.
Game came out September 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, today's date is 11th. November 23rd.
Okay, in the grand scheme of life, that's not that much time. In gaming, though, yeah, that's a couple lifetimes, because I wasn't kidding when I said I truly, truly believe that I'm probably the last person to finish the playthrough in this game. Of, like, hardcore Borderlands fans that couldn't wait for that game to come out.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive I have to be the last one.
Well, the cool thing is that I know Anthony is playing it. I'm not sure how far along he is.
He also got to it late, I think, though.
He got to it last week.
Well, yeah, so he's got way more of an excuse than I have.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's been fun, and I said that I would be prepared for this day, and here we are.
I held you to it.
Yeah.
I held your feet to the fire on that one, yo, making sure you fucking jumped into
it's
it.
It's still hot. It's still hot.
All right, so we will absolutely be jumping into Borderlands, but I want to go ahead, I want to talk about something real quick. About a week and a half ago, some really cool cats who also have a podcast went ahead and retweeted one of our last episode, the one we had with Clyburn. And I know it was the thought-provoking one.
You know, yeah,
the one we just did. They retweeted it, so I started talking with them. It's Alex and Jacob from the What's Your Spaghetti Policy podcast.
The good old Spaghetti Boys.
The Spaghetti Boys. Yo, I need to tell you guys, these dudes are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, bring an extra pair of drawers because, like, they're funny, dude.
Yo, they are, first of all, their format is great because there is no format. You know what I mean? Like, you and I on here, and when we have anybody else on here, we're fairly structured. You know what I mean? We hit A, B, and C before we go ahead and clock out.
Yeah.
These guys, they start with what they want, go off the cuff, and
it's
then...
It's like controlled chaos.
And then... Right when you think you're about to hear some more good shit, they go Soprano style. They just fucking cut it.
Yeah. Yeah. But but it's not hard to listen and to listen to it for a long time and not feel like you're listening to it for a long time, because especially for guys like us, like, they're our type of dudes.
Absolutely.
They joke the same way.
Absolutely.
And it's our type of humor. But definitely, definitely give them a listen.
Oh, please do.
It's well worth it. You won't regret it.
Yeah, so definitely go ahead, find them on Twitter, find them everywhere else you can. I know they're on Podbean, they're on Spotify. Yeah, I mean, to go ahead and for to listen to them. I'm going to look up real quick their Twitter handle, so that way I can go ahead and throw it to them.
Yeah, and again, that is What's Your Spaghetti Policy. Great name. Great name. That I'm not going to lie, before I listened to them, I heard their name, I was like, okay, I know this is an Always and Sunny reference. I was like, is this going to be an Always and Sunny podcast? I was like, is this going to be a spaghetti podcast?
So the funniest thing about it is that they continuously say, we are not a spaghetti podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Great group of guys, though.
Oh, absolutely. So their Twitter handle is at SPAG Policy Pod. So SPAG Policy Pod. Please give them follows. Listen to their stuff. If you like us, you're absolutely going to like them. So, Alex, Jacob, that one's for you guys, man.
Boom.
All right. So, what we're going to do is we're going to do a spoiler-free quick rundown of Borderlands 3, and then we're going to give everybody some time to go ahead and digest that we're going to go ahead and really dive into it. We're going to go straight spoiler-filled, no holds bar. We're talking about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's get it going.
All right. So, the game starts off with you got to deal with the Calypso twins, who are both sirens, which is weird because you never run into a male siren. You learn about that later. But you deal with two sirens, and they're taking over all the bandit groups.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. they're essentially a cult. A cult.
Yeah, Children of the Vault is what the cult's called.
Yeah.
In between them and having to deal with Maliwan and everything else, you're going through all these different planets, including a very special planet, which I'm not going to say anything until spoiler-filled section, which is absolutely fucking awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't give that away right away.
No, not at all. You get to go ahead and hang with all the classics, man. You see Lilith, you see Brick, Mordecai, Tina. I'm sorry, man. I love Tina. Like,
I love Tina,
oh, my
too.
God, dude. She's fucking great.
I love Tina, too. Not so tiny anymore.
No, she's not tiny no more. Look, you're going to get the reference on this, but still, she looks exactly like Anthony's wife. Still.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. Nina is right on point for Tina.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, yep, not so tiny. Still just as crazy.
Nah. And then you get some new characters, man. You get Lorelai, who works for Reese at Atlas. You get to go ahead. I mean, you still deal with Tannis, and you still deal with Marcus.
You get Wainwright.
Yeah, you get Wayne. Oh, dude, I love Wainwright.
You get Wainwright.
Yo, Wainwright and Hammerlock is like such an awesome combination.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, dude, you end up going to a bunch of awesome planets. I mean, even if you haven't played the game yet, you've seen the stuff for it. So, I mean, you go to Eden 6, you go, which is a complete swamp planet. You go to Athenus, which is a monk planet where everybody's all zen and shit.
Promethea,
which is a just metropolis planet, which actually, that shit just looks insane, man. The bright colors and everything just still fucking throw me off.
Yeah, because that's actually the one planet that I wasn't really expecting, because everything else I expected a little bit of, but once I saw that, I was like, ooh. It kind of reminded me of I wish I remembered what the map was called, but it was a metropolis style map in Borderlands 2, where all I remember is you had to like, one of the Cult of the Vault challenges was to like shoot, like to find like the 10 little security cameras all over the place and shoot those.
Oh, you know what that probably was?
Find the three rooftops.
That probably was where Hyperion was.
Hyperion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was close to that, but, you know, way more fun to look at, basically.
So another thing you... all right, so what did we say? We said Promethea, Eden 6, Athenus. Obviously, you deal with Pandora, and you deal with different layers of Pandora, too, which is actually really cool.
Yeah, and every planet that we just spoke of have multiple maps within that planet.
And they're huge.
Yeah, some of them are so massive that you get to another map and you just pray to God that, or whoever you pray to, that it's not that big. Like, every time I would come to a map and see one that was, like, fairly linear, I was like, oh, nah, thank God.
Yeah.
because that, you know, especially with the crew challenges that are now in place of...
Okay, so, yeah, and that's another thing. So, instead of going ahead and dealing with what you were talking about before with
Cult
the Hyperion...
of the Vault, finding the vault symbols and the different... You know.
Instead of dealing with stuff like that, you deal with what's called crew challenges. Now, crew challenges come from Zero, Hammerlock, Ellie, Claptrap. I believe that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Zero, you have assassination targets that he wants you, you know, people he wants you to take out.
Ellie is vehicle creatures. Parts.
Vehicle parts by basically, you know, stealing a vehicle.
Hammerlock is creatures.
Yep. Which is actually cool. We can touch on the effect that that has back at Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, who else was there? Who'd we say?
Claptrap.
Claptrap, yep. Finding...
Claptrap, you know, just finding random shit.
Finding
like
random parts for...
For his companion.
For his companion. His life mate.
Yes, his love.
But they're actually quite fun. And then you have the Typhon logs.
Yeah, so
which is almost essentially kind of works the same way as if you play Borderlands 2, the vault symbols or the echoes.
Yeah, so the Typhon
except
logs,
for it actually ends with something that is quite fruitful.
So the Typhon logs end up. I mean, you have three of them per each section of the map. All right, and every time you find three, you go ahead. You find you go to try to find a chest that has a bunch of guns in it. So I mean, look, everything with the game is one of two things. Three things. XP, guns, money. That's it.
No, four things. Guns, XP, money, guns.
Yeah, and guns. And guns and guns.
There you go. Don't sell it short.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah, dude, it is like, so IGN gave the game a 9. Okay?
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. So, out of 10, what would you give the game?
Out of 10, what would I give the game? See, here's the problem, is that, okay, you know what? I'm going to be as objective as I can possibly
be. I'm going to ask you now, and then I'm going to ask you when we do the spoiler-filled, because then that way you can really dive a little deeper into it.
It's super... Here's the problem. It's super hard for me to not... I don't ever love to give anything a perfect score, because I always like to think that there is something that they could fix, so I'm going to leave myself some wiggle room, so throughout this podcast, if I think of something and come back, but it's hard for me to not give it... like a 9.5.
Okay.
Because on top of everything that I hoped I would get
yeah.
from this game, which is the same batshit crazy storytelling style they had from the first two that certainly didn't disappoint in this one. The great characters and voice actors behind them, which were great.
Plus bringing in new characters you weren't even expecting.
Exactly. At the same crazy type of boss battles and creatures. Like I said, on top of all that, that would have put it right there at a 9 for me. But then things that I didn't ask for that made the game easier, like being able to like jump and climb up rather than
mantling, sliding.
Mantling, sliding. That was all stuff that I didn't ask for that they just said, hey, this will make your gaming experience a little easier. And the loot instancing, which we'll get into.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So it's hard for me to not... It's hard for me to not give it a 10, but I know there has to be something that I'll probably think of where I can be like, okay, maybe this is the only thing separating them from perfection to me.
Okay.
So 9.5 for me.
Okay. I mean, I definitely will run towards that same thing, 9.5. Like, to me, it's like a 9.5, 9.3, something like that. I mean, it's semantics at this point.
Yeah. You're splitting hairs trying to figure out.
Oh, absolutely.
Out. Yeah. It's like, is it a great game or a great game? It's...
But yeah, I mean, I feel the same way you do with everything. Like, I really enjoyed the mantling. I thought that was really cool with going ahead and trying to find different spots. You mean to go ahead and really try to get good angles.
Yeah.
The guns were amazing. Every single gun you find is absolutely different than every other gun you find.
Yeah.
Even if it's just subtle.
Yeah.
And plus, like, you know, I mean, the loot score, you know, I mean, just all that stuff. I mean, because that's the shit that you never ask for. You mean, but they give it to you, so.
See, I left myself room, and now I have my reason as to why I left it room. Because if we're going to be fair, that's a Letterkenny reference, by the way, if you guys have never watched that show. It has nothing to do with gaming, but please watch it. It is hilarious.
Oh, I have Hulu now,
and
so I need to check that out.
This is slightly off topic, but back to the Spaghetti Boys. They play hockey? Do they play? I heard
they
something about a hockey game.
They love hockey.
Oh, well, chances are they know about Letterkenny. Boys, if you don't, watch it. You'll love it.
I know Jacob is a Bruins fan. Don't know how he became a Bruins fan, but he's a Bruins fan, which
Well, we can't let him on the podcast then, right?
Look, Alex is just as bad, man.
It's all fair.
He's a Capitals fan.
It's all fair. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude. And sorry, boys. Flyers all the way.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but back to what I was saying. One thing that I wasn't a fan of, how long they have events that they randomly come out with to add, you know, different missions you can do and stuff like that, that they'll have for like a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I didn't love how long that Bloody Harvest event hung around. It made everything more annoying.
Isn't it still around?
No, it actually ended.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it's inactive. When I was playing today, there was no more ghosts flying out of everything that I killed. No more terror, no more none of that. It was cool at first. And actually, we'll touch on it later. One of my absolute favorite weapon came from that.
Okay.
But I didn't love how long that hung around because it made everything take longer.
Well, I think the reason why it hung around as long as it did.
I know they wanted to give you time to be able to.
You have 15 things to go ahead and try to. I mean, 15 objectives to try to clear out.
Yeah, when you have when they come out with events for this game, they have different like mini challenges that you can complete 15 of them within each one that will give you.
Just skins, you know, and shit like that.
Yeah, extra shit. They're not. You don't have to complete them. You can complete the DLC, can complete the event without.
I think
doing
I like
that.
Completed like 6.
Yeah, I think I completed 5.
Yeah.
But I didn't like how long it hung around. But
actually, that's really wild though, because I did the Cistern of Slaughter,
mm-hmm.
which is like the Circle of Slaughter, but apparently it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
And I did that while that whole DLC was running.
Oh my god.
Dude, it was insane.
Like,
absolutely insane.
The only thing that I liked about that event, I mean, I loved the, like, I'm gonna call it a campaign, like the mini camp, the mission itself. That was cool. And I liked the loot ghosts.
Yep.
Those were always legit. Outside of that, it's like, I could
anything,
do without it.
Anything loot based, you're gonna like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is why I like the entire goddamn game.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so, I mean, look, like I said, I gave it like a 9.3, 9.5. You gave it a 9.5.
Yeah.
All in all, like I said, dude, like, I mean, you said it best, splitting hairs when it comes down to what we think to stuff we didn't really like.
Yeah, and anything that we didn't really like would come nowhere, is nothing that comes anywhere near making the game, like, unenjoyable.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
Yeah. So, Gearbox, you got yourself ones here.
Randy Pitchford.
You got yourself another one.
Absolutely, man.
Words of DJ Khaled. another one.
All right, so we're going to go ahead, let y'all take a quick second to digest that. And also, if you haven't finished the game,
now's the time to cut this podcast off.
Cut the podcast until closer towards the end. I'll put timestamps on when we come back in to go ahead and let people know when to go ahead and join back into the podcast. I mean, just in case they don't want to be part of this part.
Absolutely, because as usual, we will have some gaming news at the end. And we're also going to touch on, we said the Gaming Awards.
Yeah, the Gaming Awards that are coming out December 12th.
Yeah, the nominees.
The nominees are out, so I'm definitely going to bring that up.
For sure. So, yep. Cut this off if you haven't played the rest of the game and you don't want us to ruin anything, because over the next however bit of time this takes, we're going to ruin everything. So we'll see you later if that's the case,
we will see you when you come back. All right, so we're back.
Yes. Alert, alert, spoiler alert. I bet the best way to get this thing cracking now with no holds barred, you can say whatever you want.
The fucking twins, bruh.
The fucking twins, bruh. What were your thoughts come the end of the game?
Come the end of the game, all right, so I had some feels because of Lilith, flying into the moon, because it was the only way to get the moon back into orbit. You know what I mean? Like, that shit fucking got me some.
Yeah, but look, we don't know.
If she's still alive or not. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Look, I'm still mad about Maya.
I know. I was kind of hoping for there to be some... Like, I was hoping that by the end of this game, I'd find out that, like, she was going to come back somehow. But
the way I knew that she wasn't going to come back was because...
What, of Ava?
Because Ava got her glyphs.
Got her. That was kind of a powerful moment.
And the same powers as Maya.
Yeah.
So, the fact that she knew that Ava was going to go ahead and get her glyphs. But there's something you actually learn when you go ahead and when you do a playthrough back. When you do True Vault Hunter mode, you get to go ahead and so you know all the
like those like weird vault looking things. I assumed that I was gonna be able to get to that one.
Yes, and you could translate them after endgame.
Cool.
So you go through all of them and then you translate them, and when you do that, you learn that either a siren can let her powers when she dies go into the ether to find another person, or a siren can choose who she wants to give her glyphs to.
And Maya chose Ava.
Now. When Troy, that shit threw me off. I'm like, okay, so he's a parasite.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Leeching off of Tyrene.
And that made perfect sense. But then when he had Maya's powers, which I guess was all Ava's powers, it was just like, oh, man, I hate him so much. I hate him so goddamn much.
Yeah. And you know what? That's like, that's why I couldn't understand these people that were judging these two against Handsome Jack. They're totally different.
Completely.
But they're such good antagonists. If you have thoughts like that during a game, that deep where you're like, I fucking hate this motherfucker. Like, they're doing it right.
So look, I had those feelings, and then I also had feelings with Tywin, to where I'm like...
Typhon?
Typhon, yeah.
Yeah.
Tywin? So, yeah, with Typhon, and then I felt like, you know, when I found out it was his kids, I'm like...
Damn.
I gotta kill his kids.
Yeah.
Like, shit. Well, actually, no. At that point, I believe you already killed Troy.
Yeah, you had to kill one kid.
Now, I will say this, though. With fighting Troy, I fought Troy 6 times, died every time. You know what my big kicker was? I had an Atlas gun the 7th time. I put a tracker on him and then just ran and shot.
Yeah.
Because the bullets traced. So the bullets always went to him.
Yeah.
So it worked out fucking perfect, and I loved it. Yeah, dude, Atlas guns, I honestly think, might be my favorite in the game. Number one, they're powerful as fuck. Even regardless of the fire rate, they're powerful as fuck.
We'll get into it in a little bit. It's funny that my favorite gun in the entire game was a gun company that in the past has been amongst my least favorite. Torg.
Ah! Explosions!
But we'll talk about that later. Yeah, dude, seeing the end of that game, first of all, we were talking before we cut this thing on, that part right after you kill Troy.
Yeah.
When it, you know, when they, that it fades to black, Tyrene's walking off, you think that she has just, I mean, you had to know that she didn't actually kill you and Ava and Lilith and Tannis and whatnot. So, but it fades to, the screen fades to black and it says to be continued. And then it shows a number 4. You'd think that they were leaking Borderlands 4, which we'd all probably assume at some point we're getting anyway. Anyway. But then, yeah, it says to be continued in 4, and it holds there for, like, a good 5, 10 seconds, and then it says 3, 2, 1, and it cuts back in. My heart stopped when that happened. I was like, there's no fucking way you're going to leave me like this.
See, that's really funny, because I had no thought of that at all.
I did.
I had no thought whatsoever that the game was done when you killed Troy.
Like, just, part of me was
just
like...
Just because, like, everything was building up to Tyrene being... You mean, she was the bitch. You mean, she was the bad queen bee that you need to fuck up. So, I knew for a fact...
follow and obey, bro.
I knew for a fact that she was the one I had to take out. So, when that whole thing happened, I'm like, all right, let's see what happens here. Fuck it.
But I did really enjoy how they were essentially antagonists that fit today's culture.
Oh, absolutely. And Randy with Pitchford said it, too.
With the social media, and like I said, the like, follow, and obey.
Like, follow, and obey.
It was like, every time she spoke, you wanted to shoot this bitch. Like, every time.
Hey, super fan.
Yeah. Which is funny, because, like, I had the opportunity not to, but, like, clearly I'm a sellout and I'll do anything for a legendary weapon.
Oh,
so
you did?
I used her thing.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
And that gun that fucking talks shit the entire time you shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So dope. So dope. But, like, just to see, like, in the red where it said super fan, I'm like, ah, oh, fuck. I sold my soul for this shit.
Literally. I don't give. Yeah, but once again, I'm a fucking merc whore, so I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, money, legendary gun, money, legendary gun. One's way easier to come by.
Hell yeah.
They were great. And I, you know, I'm not going to. Again, you'd be splitting hairs to choose between them and Handsome Jack. Because clearly, all we need to take away from this is that Gearbox is very good, and Randy Pitchford is very good at coming up, you know, with the protagonist, the antagonist for the game.
Now, look, and that's the thing. It's like, look, I will always, and I've said it once, and I'll say it a million times. Handsome Jack is my favorite villain of any game that I played. I don't care what it is. I don't care what game. I've been playing games. I'm 34 years old. I've been playing games roughly for 30 fucking years.
What? Oh, because your birthday just passed.
Yeah.
I was like, why do you not seem that much older than me? And I'm like, fuck, you are.
Fuck you, dude. Seriously. You can suck a whole big old bag of D's.
Yeah, I saw that dust fly off your lips when you said that shit.
Asshole. All right. But yeah, dude, like, seriously, I've been playing games for almost 30 years, and I've played an ass load of games, dude. And Handsome Jack, to me, is just, he's just one of the purest villains. And then you feel for him for a second because what he's doing to his daughter. And then you realize it's his daughter. Then you get immediately mad again.
Yeah.
Angel? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh,
I loved Angel.
Yeah, me too.
And it was great that Angel sent her powers to Tanis.
Yeah, when I saw those white wings, I was like, oh, shit.
That was a fucking, dude, that was
dope. When I just saw her, like, fucking fly down, I was like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing. Like, that caught me off guard.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, I figured she's super fucking science-y, and that's how she could go ahead and get in your head to go ahead and fucking talk to you. You mean like sirens do?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the fact that she was a fucking siren. Not at all.
And in true Borderlands fashion, they had so many Easter eggs.
Oh yeah,
that were great. You had the Downton Abbey. You had Penn and Teller. You had references to, and they even looked like them, which is funny.
Cause it was them.
Yeah,
Penn voiced.
Yeah,
I mean that's like him doing the voiceover. Yeah.
Having Ice-T.
Bailex. Yo, we flying this fucking shit, man.
Yeah. Oh, you probably can't reach that. Just put it wherever my head will fit. Straight up dickhead. But what else? You had references to Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, what else? There was another one. Fuck.
It'll probably come to you later.
I'm sure it will. But all in all, dude, start to finish, it was a great fucking experience.
Look, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing this game.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have made it better, and you know what I'm going to say, the only thing that would have made it better is throwing down more with you. You know what I mean? Because we have the game on the same console.
Yeah.
I mean, throwing down more co-op would have made that game just that much better for me.
Yeah. I will say this. Fuck those anointed dudes, all of them. God, I hate them things.
If you think they're bad now, wait till you go true Vault Hunter mode with Mayhem.
Oh, I believe
so, that. All right, so that's another thing that we can go ahead and jump into. And we could have probably talked into this, even with the spoiler free.
Yeah.
When you beat the game, you get to play in true Vault Hunter mode. Everybody knows what true Vault Hunter mode is.
If they played
any of the other ones, right? So it's harder. I mean,
harder enemies,
more experience, and better loot. But you get a choice of Mayhem 1, 2, or 3. Depending on which Mayhem you choose, it gets that much harder to go ahead and take these fuckers out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there are ones to where, like, shock damage is decreased by 30% or by 40%. Dude, it's absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been playing on Mayhem 1 because I'm playing by myself. If I was playing with somebody, I'd play on 2 or 3 just because I know somebody's got my back to fucking heal me. I'm a Beastmaster, and I'm still worried, you know what I mean, about getting fucking revived.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, fucking Mayhem is absolutely insane. But it's a lot of fun, too.
I'm excited to fuck around with it. I'm excited to see all of the shit that I've unlocked along the way that doesn't unlock until, you know, I start true Vault Hunter mode. That's going to be fun. It was fun going through all the maps and looking for the crew challenges. That was fun. You know, I had my doubts when they said, you know, how many guns were going to be in this game. And then once I really never found a duplicate gun, I was like, damn, they weren't fucking kidding.
That, and on top of the fact that you have a gun that shoots fucking guns.
I mean, that's how you know you've thought of everything.
And that gets better.
Yeah.
With true Vault Hunter mode. Because now I'm like, with that gun, I'm shooting guns that are fucking purple now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. There's nothing else I can fucking say, man. It's fucking awesome. I love it. I mean, I know you have some questions to go ahead and kind of keep the conversation going.
Yeah. So you know, how do you feel with the character that you chose by the end of the game? How'd it work for you all the way through? Were there any boss battles or anything that was a little more difficult than you thought it would be? You know, because you definitely get here's one thing, probably the only thing that we have to take away from the fact that we played the game largely by ourselves is that you really got to see what your character could do without any assistance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how'd you feel? Who did you choose, and how'd you feel by the end of the game with how that went?
All right, so I was Flak, the Beastmaster.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I beat the game, I was level 43, just to go ahead and just put that out there. So I wasn't even, like, you know what I mean, full bore. You know what I mean? I'd be able to go ahead and spec out completely with
level 50 shit. Yeah, no, you still had 7 levels to go.
Yeah. Throughout the first half of the game, first 2/3 of the game, had no problem. No fucking issue at all. But
when did it switch on you?
It switched after they did one of the major patches, because apparently Flak was OP as fuck.
When they nerfed a lot of the guns and stuff like that, and a lot of the towers.
And last thing, also, they nerfed Beastmaster like a motherfucker.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, there was a lot of shit with him that, you mean, that made him the most OP cat you could expect. Like, I thought Zane would have easily been the fucking most OP guy you could fucking get. Apparently, it was Flak. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, which is funny because, yeah, I saw a lot of people, you know, talking about how when they, you know, choosing Zane, there were certain bosses they couldn't even get through, and they were begging people for help, which is a perfect.
But I also think one of the big things about that was that one of the perks with getting the spider ant was your gun damage went up by like 30%. You mean when you had the spider ant completely on the third tier of evolution?
Okay.
So with that, then I fully understood, okay, maybe I am kind of fucking badass. Because, like, dude, with the Flaker shotguns, nothing. There was nothing that could stand in my way. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, for me, Zane. I chose Zane. And
Irish operative.
Now, I had a lot of fun, and I believe Clyburn said the same thing when we touched on it before. If you build him the right way, you can run. I'm not going to say you can run through the game no problem, because that's not true, but there's no boss that was impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and if you use the right strategy. Now, for me, I chose the Sentinel and, whatchamacallit,
The barrier?
The barrier, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the way that I would use it is, especially for boss battles, is, you know how in every boss battle, at some point, they send out little minions, which essentially are only there for if you go into fight for your life mode so you have a way to get out.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of them just being there to be annoying and having more shit that you have to deal with.
So in the Anvil, perfect example, the Warden.
Yeah.
Warden was the perfect example of the minions are out there to go ahead and help you. Yeah. Give me help for a fight of your
mouthpiece,
life.
Mouthpiece, same thing.
Yeah, Mouthpiece was the same thing.
Yeah, they were the two, I think, that had the most of them. Also, Captain
Haunt or Trant?
Trant, Captain Trant.
Was it Captain or General Trant? Which one?
It was Captain, not General.
So the one in Athena's.
Yes.
You're right.
Now, I said, the way, if you use Aang the right way, what I would do is, because you only have, especially, you know, since you don't have time by the time you get to some of these bosses to have your shit all specced out, so you only have certain things unlocked, what I would do is I really wouldn't even send out my Sentinel until I was close to dying. So that way, while I could still focus on the boss, I could let that thing go out and hit one of the smaller guys just to bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I never really had a problem with a boss battle, because that's just the way that I went about it. So, I mean, he was definitely useful if you use him the right way. Being able to use multiple, being the only character that can use
multiple action
two
skills.
Action skills at once. And if you when you get your Sentinel maxed all the way out, if you go all the way to the last thing you can get, if your Sentinel, as soon as you deploy it, it activates all of your kill skills.
Oh, shit.
Activates all of them. For a limited time, obviously. But.
Okay, yeah, but that's still gnarly as shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I understand. Yes, technically, your character, Zane, was the only one with two action skills. But
you didn't have to use
them. But for me, with being the Beastmaster, I felt like I had two action skills. And here's the reason why. The reason why is because I could tell my companion, which was either a Jabber, a Spider Ant.
Oh, it's a Skag, right?
Skag.
Yeah, it's a Skag.
Yeah, so with one of my companions, a Skag, a Spider Ant, or a Jabber, each one of them, you can tell them, go to him.
I think all the action skills are like that.
And they can go ahead. I mean, they have their own quote-unquote action skill.
Yeah.
Like the third tier Jabber has a rocket launcher. Mm. And then when you say, go kill him, he shoots three shots of a rocket launcher at that motherfucker. And when he's not using that, he's running around with an SMG.
Yeah.
So even though, like I said, you had that second action skill, I still feel like I had that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with being the Beastmaster with my companion.
And even if you're listening to this, even if you didn't care about spoilers and you haven't played the game, but you're listening to this part, if you do choose Zane, you don't have to use both action skills. You can. The only thing is, if you have both action skills equipped, you can
no grenade.
No grenades. So you can choose if you want to be able to use grenades. You just have to sacrifice a... I never once used a grenade at all.
I thoroughly enjoyed my grenades. I actually have a grenade right now that's called a fastball. It's a frost grenade.
Okay.
It's a freeze one. Its efficiency is at like 120% or something like that.
I feel like I already know where this is going to go, but your favorite NPC in Borderlands 3?
My favorite non-playable character. See, you would think I'd go Tina.
See, it's funny. For me, I have Tina written down, and then I'm like, okay, if I want to branch out from someone who's been there and
now,
a new one.
Now, one of the funniest to me, honestly, was probably Lorelai.
Yeah?
Just because of how much she wanted that fucking coffee. That was such a great interaction with her, with going ahead and doing that coffee mission.
And it was coffee, and then it was burgers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you get the...
And I love how that whole fucking mission pretty much just culminated in being able to get that motherfucking robot a mustache. A fucking barista mustache.
Yes. That's like, all it was. Make him a fucking hipster and he does what you want.
Yeah.
But so she was the funniest, but yeah, it's kind of hard because like, I mean, there was so much hate thrown at like Ava. On the soundboards and everything else, like so many people just despised her.
It's so hard for me. When it comes to a game
like
adolescence. This, anytime anyone's hating on something, like I immediately almost can't listen. I'm like, really? Like, what are you hating on exactly? Fuck. See, for me, I had two. I did put Tiny Tina because I put two because I would be like, all right, I'd pick. She would probably be my overall favorite no matter what. And she did feel a little...
Get it.
She did feel a little different because she was older. But...
She did.
But it was just the humor was a little... was taken a little further than I guess they could have had it with her as a little girl.
Now, she was voiced by the same woman that voiced her for Tiny Tina, which was pretty badass.
But if I wanted to branch out from that, it was hard for me to not say Tyreen. I really, really... enjoyed how they used her character.
I wasn't expecting an antagonist you mean, going ahead saying an antagonist is an NPC. I was thinking NPC as, you mean, as an ally.
No, but just any NPC.
No. It makes complete sense with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you.
I know her and Troy played well off one another, but I wasn't like, if they were standalones, Troy didn't do much for me. He was cool to look at and whatnot, but I feel like Tyreen carried the load on that.
Yeah, she did. Look, man, she knew from the gate. You know what I mean? Once again, she was the queen bee. You know what I mean? She was the queen bitch.
She was using them.
Oh, absolutely. But once again, it's like, but she had, it's funny. It's funny you talk about this. She had that family love enough. Enough of that family love to where she couldn't watch him die.
Yeah.
And that's why she kept him with her that entire time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Up until the very end to where she basically was like, he was a fool for going against me and doing his own thing when he should have stuck with the plan.
Yeah. What was your favorite boss fight? Because you know this game is all about the boss fights.
Absolutely. The Tyreen fight was fun. I wasn't expecting that. Everybody else would probably say the second vault will probably be one of their most favorites. Just because
the
wayward, the vault word or something
grave,
like that.
The, no,
yeah, the, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
grave word,
yeah,
I think.
Grave warden, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
that had a lot of elements to it.
It did. Plus, on top of that, people run through True Vault Hunter mode on Mayhem 3, and they end up getting like anywhere from 20 to 30 fucking legendaries popping on that thing. I've seen videos of people doing that shit. Dude, they take it down within like fucking 10 seconds, and then they just get legendaries fucking raining on them.
That's crazy.
It is. Damn, that's a good fucking question, man.
No love for Pain and Terror?
I enjoyed that, but that was super fucking easy.
Yeah.
It was stupid fucking easy. The one that probably gave me the most challenge, I think, was probably Troy. Just because of the guns I kept on using beforehand and the fact that he would destroy my beast before it came to me.
That was,
or his people would destroy my beast before he came, which means my beast can't revive me.
That was going to be my next question, was what was the most difficult boss battle for you?
Most difficult, I'd probably say Troy. And also,
favorite for me, I didn't necessarily mean by difficulty, just like whether it's a boss that you thought looked super cool or the environment in which you fought him was cool.
Okay.
Or the different forms it had was something you thought was gnarly. That's why it's funny that you mentioned that, because for me it was probably that second, the Grave Warden or the Grave Warden, whatever it was called, because there was elements to it. There was, you know, you had to watch out for the thing tilting on you, and there was holes that you could just fall through. So you had to watch out for that thing tilting on you, and then while it's tilting, you got to watch out for these corrosive bubbles, basically.
Yep.
And then, you know, there was just, you know, that, I mean, that was probably my favorite, I think.
It was a fun one. I mean, like, but at the same time, once you climb up and find that one hole that you can stay in no matter what, it made the fight really easy.
Yeah, see, I didn't find that. I just fought the thing.
Oh, I found that super fucking fast.
No, I just fought the thing. Now, it only took me one shot, which is cool.
Now, I'm almost at that in True Vault Hunter mode. So, okay. You mean, when I get to it in True Vault Hunter mode, then I'm gonna be like everybody else. I'm just going to farm the fuck out of it.
Now, the hardest one for me is because it was before I really knew the direction I was going with Zane, and I didn't have phenomenal weapons.
Okay.
So, at first, now I did it in one shot, but at first, Mr. Katagawa was a problem. Remember how he morphed into like four different things and you had
Katagawa
to figure
Jr.
out which
yeah.
one was Katagawa Jr., right? And then the Katagawa ball.
That was tough at first
only because, now the way I play these games is, well, I realized I couldn't do that much in this game, was when I would get money, the first thing that I would upgrade would be my storage deck so I could collect more loot. I didn't put a lot of money into my ammo. What really helped you get through that battle was shock and corrosive. I had a shotgun, but it was a sniper rifle. And my best weapon was the corrosive, and that was the legendary that you were given. I think Lilith gives it to you. At the end of one of the missions. And like I said, I hadn't paid for any ammo upgrades. So I had pretty much nothing. And they only give you so much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you
I,
only get like 280 rounds of like assault rifle or something like that to begin with.
Yeah. So, you know, now the Katagawa ball, I did fail the first time. So I had to go back to Sanctuary to up my corrosive. It gave me like 680 rounds because I had just enough with that sniper rifle to take the shield down.
Yeah.
And then I was able to get it going, but that was super stressful at first.
Now
had I not done that, had I just upped my ammo and worried about keeping myself alive first before I worried about how much loot I could take, it wouldn't have been an issue.
But now, I will also go ahead and say that with having the action skill fade away, to where that at that point, my fade away was it ran down for a select amount of time and I had critical hit damage that entire time.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? So when it comes down to that, that made shit like that a fuck ton easier.
Huh. Well, yeah, I didn't have that situation.
Which once again, just, you know what I mean, just further flows into the fact of Flak in the beginning was OP as hell.
Yeah, yeah, which they adjusted, so.
They did.
If you can remember, what was your favorite main mission to go through? For me, it was easy. It was both of the, I believe, I could be wrong.
Please tell me yours, because you've been much more thorough much more into it than I have lately.
Beneath the Meridian and Cold as the Grave, which I believe are literally both of the missions that lead you to the first two vaults.
Okay.
Now, the first one, it wasn't necessarily that the whole mission was so much fun, but that first vault battle, there was so much. There was so much involved in that, because that vault creature had so many different attacks.
It had like four different evolutions.
It had four different evolutions, and then they added in, you know, now the Guardians, they were definitely weaker than normal Guardians. They had them in there again.
Yes.
If you were in Fight for Your Life. Yeah. Though, but they added in those little blue orbs that you would have to shoot to get ammo if you needed it.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. If you shot those blue orbs, whatever gun you shot them with, that's the ammo you'd get.
Okay. I just learned something new. But it was cool
how they had, he had three different forms, all each with their own strengths and weaknesses. So
yeah,
that was dope. And then for every reason that we talked about before with the second vault one. Was fun.
Actually, I think probably one of the missions I loved the most was going through Wainwright Estate. Jacob's Estate, sorry.
Oh, when you see your first anointed? Billy?
Yeah, Billy boy.
That's a tough battle, dude.
So when I first ran that one, the game glitched out on me.
Oh, really?
The very first time I fucking ran through that, the game glitched out because I would start in the theater and backed myself out of the theater. And then Billy ended up on top of the one slot machine. You mean right outside the door, but I couldn't hit him.
Oh. I had the same tactic as you, and that's how I got through it, was because I didn't fight him in the theater. I brought him out the rest of the way so I could sometimes get him caught for a second on either the
like the
doorway to get in. I would get him stuck there.
Loud as fuck.
Yeah, it was. but That was fun.
That whole thing was fun. And then on top of it, going ahead and jumping on top of the mezzanine and going through the different scenes on the stage in order to go ahead and drop down.
To find the code.
Yeah, I thought I actually thought that was pretty neat. Yeah. I mean, you don't normally deal with something like that in one of these games. So it was a nice, it was very Tomb Raider-ish.
Yeah.
You mean puzzle solving type thing? Grant, not to the level of Tomb Raider, obviously, but...
Yeah. Now, I think it was the best puzzle outside of that one in... Not that it was super difficult, but the one in the Bloody Harvest with pumpkins.
Okay, see, you got that. I didn't.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh. The only reason I got that is because my buddy AJ was over that one day, and like he ran up and he was like, oh, these pumpkins are colored. And I was like, well, fuck, there's ones out there that are colored. So I guess that's what this is.
Didn't even think of that. But shit. Yeah. I mean, look, I only ran through Haunt maybe four times.
Well, that was also a medal for...
It was, and that was one of the ones I did not get.
Now, if you can remember, is there a side mission you can remember that you had fun doing? This was so easy for me.
Coffee. I think coffee was...
Oh, yeah,
coffee,
dude.
Was one
that was
of
a good
the,
one.
Was one,
the coffee.
That one,
that
or...
whole segment with the coffees and then the burgers and...
That one was great, but then also the one where you... when you first deal with Tina and Brick and Mordecai.
When you're making the pizza?
No.
Because that's when you first meet Tina. The first thing you do for her is you make that bomb.
Never
mind. That might have been a main mission, though.
That was a main mission.
That was main.
No, the side mission with them when you're on Pandora towards the end of the game.
When you're fighting alongside them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to go ahead. I mean, like slabs in a fucking tunnel somewhere.
You have Brick there at the
slab. Yeah, I don't call him slab.
You have Brick there, and then you have to hit that bomb down there, and then you kill everything coming out, and then you go and you fight at that. Yeah, that was fun.
That was great.
So, do you have, now this was my favorite, do you have a favorite weapon? You have to.
Yes. My favorite weapon actually came from, after True Vault Hunter mode, Gigawatt, I believe his name was. I mean, the dude
Kilowatt?
With, Kilowatt. No, not Kilowatt. The dude with the brain in the jar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like Gigamind or something.
Gigamind, there you go.
Yeah.
So he drops,
which I thought was a play on like Megamind, I thought at first.
Oh my God, yeah. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Or at least his sidekick. You know what I mean? In the movies.
Yep.
So the gun you get off of that, it's a Maliwan flame gun. I mean it's burn damage. But the way that it goes is that when you shoot it, it has two points that expand from the point of the barrel of the gun. And it has like a wave line that runs with it. So it can hit multiple targets at one time. Dude, this gun destroys
everything.
It is my favorite gun. It's an SMG. It's my favorite gun of all time in this game. Other than that, I would have to say it's another SMG, which is Handsome Jack's. I mean, the gun that I have that has Handsome Jack's voice coming through it at all times.
Yeah. Now, for me, obviously, I only have one playthrough, so it'd be a gun for my first playthrough.
Of course.
And for me, I was lucky enough, it was a gun that I got from the Bloody Harvest event. Now, this gun was called the Burning Potent Alchemist. It was a legendary assault rifle. It was Torg. Now, what was cool about it was, outside of the fact that it had, you know, a lot of crazy effects, like it has 33% weapon damage, 101 splash damage radius, 69% projectile speed, and it was one of the ones with the gyro jets that can stick, and the stuck gyro jets increase damage by 9% each. Now, this gun, you know how all the legendaries have, you know, you
see
that
fun shit.
They have fun shit. Well, this one said you can't gain something without giving something in return. And the way it worked was every bullet you shot, every gyro jet was shock at first. But every shot you took would drain your own shield. And then if you kept pulling the trigger, it would then drain your health a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And the way it would work is it would shock. And then as soon as you reload the gun, all those gyro jets would explode. So you can stick all these to your enemy.
Shocked a Torg.
Yeah, it was shock. That's, and then every time it exploded, it did 147 damage per second incendiary.
All right, so this is the first one I got. The first one I got was called, I mean, the name was the same, but this is one of the few guns that I had that was actually a duplicate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That I had twice. I actually got a second one from a vault key. From the main chest. It's called a binary mocking cutsman.
Okay.
So this one was a level 47, but the damage was 1135. The little red writing said, "Little android man born without a soul." I mean, plus it had knives on the front of it, so it had 60% plus melee damage.
Yeah.
But, dude, like I said, dude, yo, when those two points came farther across, and the gun went really far. You know what I mean? We're going ahead. You know how far the shot would go? I mean, before it would just disappear. But it was absolutely amazing. And then I got another one at level 50 from the main loot chest. That's and dope. That one, dude, that one was like 1,300 something. And that one I still have on my game right now.
Yeah, now, this gun is what has been making everything pretty easy. Boss battles and stuff like that. Because like I said, anything with a shield, every bullet you shoot at first is shock. And like I said, if you stick everything, I literally just... Because here's another thing. It's got... The accuracy is pretty good. It's 78%, which for an assault rifle in that game is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The reload time was quick. And the fact that I can literally just run, I can shoot all 16 of these things at you, and then I can just run around and reload. And as soon as I hit reload, they all explode.
Boom. You just watch that.
And then I get,
drop.
Yeah, dude. And then if I get that incendiary damage per second, it's, you got nothing.
So the other gun that I loved, that I was talking about before, and this was a level 50, it was called the Handsome Jackhammer.
Yeah.
So it's an so it's an SMG, and actually this was actually one from the from the haunt. From Bloody Harvest. So after your attack command consume all the terror and you gain 50% bonus fire damage for a short time. But the crazy thing about this gun is that it's an Hyperion gun, which makes sense since it's Jack, right? Handsome Jack. But you throw the weapon and it explodes and bounces on impact. So it is in a Hyperion gun with a TDR reload. That's the part that fucked my head up. The damage was 544, which isn't that. That's not like insane when it comes down to these guns. I mean, because I had one that was over twice that. you know what I mean, that I absolutely loved. Also, the binary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, it was just absolutely insane, man.
Yeah, that's
two dope SMGs that I absolutely loved. And then I got a battle in between which one I want to fucking use. But I always go with the one with the higher damage.
I mean, now that we've talked about all that, last final thought on how the game ended, and do you think it's set up for Borderlands 4?
So, my last thought with how it ended. So, the game ends as Tyreen dies. I mean, you kill Tyreen. The moon is still coming towards Pandora. So, you need to go ahead. So, Lilith, as the Firehawk, because she got her powers back because Tyreen died, she flies up to the moon and pushes the moon back into orbit. So, from going ahead and doing that, you end up with a Firehawk symbol on the moon.
It looked dope.
Badass as shit.
Yeah.
But it also goes ahead and leaves a lot in limbo. Number one, is she alive?
Yeah.
Number two, we already know. I mean, look, you know from Borderlands 2, at the end, there are many more vaults than the three.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Than there's the a vault. Three. Yeah. You only dealt with three vaults in this game.
Yeah.
That's it. You dealt with the one on Eden 6. You know what I mean? You dealt with that one. You had the one on Promethea. And then you had the one, the Great Vault on Pandora. So, yeah. I mean, you have so much more. Plus, you still don't know about the alien race that went ahead and destroyed, you know what I mean, the Iridians.
Yeah.
There is so much more to go ahead and open up in this. So, I would easily say that you have more for Borderlands 4.
I wonder if they're ever going to flip this thing.
It's going to take probably 15 years, but...
probably. And if it happens, maybe now would be the time, but I wonder if they will ever flip this shit at some point and maybe end up with Lilith as an antagonist or something like that. You know, maybe she goes...
Or with Ava's temperament.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I could fully see Ava going ahead and end up being... You know what I mean? An antagonist at the end of another game because she felt slighted by everyone.
Well, yeah, because first everybody
Maya for holding her back. Maya slighted her for holding her back. Lilith and everybody else slighting her for going ahead and letting Maya die.
And not just going right at them motherfuckers
exactly.
After.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, it could be something they could pull in from this game to go ahead and really fuck shit up for the next one.
I mean, we can just call ourselves lucky that they don't ever find a way to make Tiny Tina the antagonist, because that would be fucking problems. That would be trouble.
If they just
cut her loose, goddamn.
There are four DLCs, I believe, that are coming out with with the season pass.
Yeah, the first one's Moxie, right?
Yes. Moxie season? Yeah. Oh, dude, that one's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it is. They're all fun.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all fun. I wonder if they'll still do the holiday stuff that they used to do. Remember? Yeah. They had one for Christmas, one for Thanksgiving, Halloween.
I mean, we'll see.
Now, here's the thing. The Bloody Harvest was Halloween.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, granted, it lasted...
into almost Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll just call that the fall one. Maybe there'll be a winter one, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But, yeah, dude, all in all, like I said, dude, I love the game. Yeah. I love the game. The antagonists in it were perfect for... what you deal with now, the streamers who get oogles of fucking support and followers for doing literally nothing, you know what I mean, and going ahead and people do whatever the fuck they, it is very Kardashian.
Yeah.
It is insanely Kardashian, you know what I mean, going ahead and, I mean, looking at the enterprise that they fucking created.
Yeah.
Basically off of fucking sex tape.
Hey, man, get your paper.
I get it. I'm just saying. It's just...
I'm not saying go out there and make a sex tape. I'm just saying, you know what? Whatever your hustle is, hustle.
But, nah, dude, all in all, like I said, dude, it's just... They did a great job. They did a great job with this game. It made you feel really good about a lot of things. It made you feel shitty about a few things. I mean, look, you want that in the game.
You want the roller coaster of emotions. You don't want to, you know, you want to, you know, you want to be... upset. You want to be happy. You want to be mad.
I compare things to things that I know, obviously. So I compare this to much. It's like MCU type movies. You know what I mean? So you have an antagonist that you can feel for. You know what I mean? Like Killmonger, like Vulture, like Thanos. You know what I mean? You have those antagonists where you go, okay, I understand why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I get it. And that's what it was. Tyreen was doing it because her father kept on putting it in her head that she. I mean, she is the second coming. You know what I mean? She is she is the one that goes ahead and creates survival for the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And in this current culture, that is what a lot of people are doing with their children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going ahead and saying, Timmy, you're the greatest kid that's ever going to be born. You're going to go ahead and change the world.
You're going to be king.
Yeah, and then that's when shit goes sideways.
Yeah. But, nah, man, it was fun to finally get that thing done so we could talk about this. I've been waiting. And I know as long as I've been waiting, you've been really waiting.
Yeah, yeah, dude, like I said, man, it took you a while.
Yeah,
look,
that's on me.
I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad you've done it, but... Jesus Christ, man. Look, I'm happy for it, though, because I got to jump into Pokemon Shield, and it's been a fuck ton of fun, man. I have been loving Pokemon.
Yeah. I believe we now have that list nominees for the Gamer Awards, right? And that's, man, that's always, those awards are always fun. It's always, I always, you know, this is actually the fun part. It's almost more fun knowing who the nominees are because there's so many games that come out. Once you see the nominees, more often than not, you can figure out who's going to win. But it's always fun just seeing who's going to get the nod each year for the different awards.
Okay, so there's 29 awards mm-hmm. coming out, all right? Anywhere from best VR, AR game to obviously game of the year, action game, and then you dive into some shit that just we don't normally jump into, like esports. You know what I mean? Like esport coach of the year, event of the year, host of the year, player of the year, all that type of stuff for esports.
We'll get better with that stuff. As time goes on.
Absolutely, because they're...
It's taken over. EA Sports. They're doing... EA Sports. Esports is coming.
They're doing a lot of really cool shit, especially in Philadelphia.
Where they just built that esports arena?
Dude, they're currently building a fucking stadium or an arena for this shit. So,
you know what's going to piss me off when that arena...
I can't wait till it opens because I want you and I to go ahead and go down, and Anthony, obviously, to go down and go ahead and actually check this shit out. Because, dude, it's in our backyard.
For sure, and we absolutely will. What's just going to make me fucking sad is when these damn esports team comes out and you find out that, like, if you're over 30, you can't even be on it. I'm like, oh, man, for real?
Look, I don't have enough skill set to be on these fucking teams anyway.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You practice.
I don't have enough time to practice.
Yeah, true that.
two kids, no time.
No kids, no time. So, fuck. Anyway.
All right. So let's jump. All right. So I want to go ahead and.
I mean, I haven't seen the nominees, so you can throw these things to me and I'll give you my pick.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into best role-playing game. Okay.
Ooh, I mean.
So you have The Outer Worlds.
Okay.
Monster Hunter World Iceborne. Kingdom Hearts 3, which my wife plays. Final Fantasy 14. And Disco Elysium.
Now, my brain tells me that if Final Fantasy is in a category, you're probably not beating it. But
I know nothing about Final Fantasy 14.
I don't either, but I just know Final Fantasy has a huge fan base, and sometimes that's all you need.
True.
If you have the largest fan base and they all vote, you're going to win.
True.
So
now, this one I found interesting was community support. There's an award for that.
That's
so,
cool. That's like the award for the award of the people.
Yeah. So Apex Legends, Destiny 2, which really surprised me. That one really surprised me.
Before you continue this, if they have an award like that, does that mean that all of these awards aren't voted on by the fans?
Well, no. There is, because I could sign into this website, you know what I mean? Thegameawards.com to go ahead and vote.
Okay. We'll continue. What were the all first right. two again?
So you have Apex Legends, okay. Destiny 2, all
right.
Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, which obviously makes sense,
yeah.
And then Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
I feel like I would go Fortnite there.
Just because of the impact of the game, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Fortnite would absolutely make sense to go ahead and think that, you know, I mean, that one's going to take the fucking cake.
Yeah.
All right, so another one I thought was interesting was Content Creator of the Year.
Very cool.
So, obviously, these are these people's gamer tags or screen names, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
So you have Shroud, Grefg, G-R-E-F-G, Ewok, Dr. Lupo, and Courage. Now, I will say this. We know none of these people.
Yeah. No.
I am very curious on what the content creator of the year would be. All right. So another one that I loved was multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Apex Legends. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Tetris 99, which I found interesting.
Wow.
Tom Clancy's The Division 2, which makes sense.
Ooh.
And then Borderlands 3.
Oh, Well, I'm going to go with Borderlands 3.
Well, look, I'm a good...
I wouldn't be mad at Division 2 either because I had a lot of fun with
that. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Did have a lot of fun, but I'm going to go Borderlands 3.
I was thinking the same thing.
Was Division... I wonder if... Well, we can find out if Division was up last year for that same award. Or not last year, but the year the Division came out.
Yeah. So, another one that is up is Best VR AR Game. So, Virtual Reality, Augmented Reality. Trover Saves the Universe. No Man's Sky. Beat Saber.
Which I own. Very fun.
Blood and Truth. And Asgard's Wrath.
Asgard? Like Asgard?
That's what like I'm Thor guessing. Asgard? That's what I'm guessing. Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
I don't know either, but I mean, you're the one with the, I mean, VR.
I am. Beat Saber is a lot of fun. What was the second one you said?
The second one I said was No Man's Sky.
That's had a resurgence. Because remember how bad that game got pooped on?
We shit on it.
Everyone shit on it.
We sat here and shit on it on this podcast.
Everyone shit on
it. Oh, absolutely.
It's a collection of shit. It wasn't just our shit. It was everybody's shit. But that it has had a resurgence.
It definitely has.
Unfortunately, I didn't do enough research to see why.
I don't know what they did. I'm definitely curious. I think I might go ahead and check it. Let me try to figure it out. I
feel like that game's had a better comeback than Fallout.
Yeah. So, best independent game was another
one.
So
I know you're happy.
Oh yeah, and we'll talk about why. So Untitled Goose Game. Have you heard about that?
No. Wait, is that the game where you play as a goose?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Untitled Goose Game, Outer Wilds, which I have no idea, Katana Zero, Disco Elysium.
And what's the other one?
Actually, what we think it is isn't on here.
Oh, really?
Baba Is You.
Wow.
Is the other one.
Fuck. All right.
Is the other one. Okay, so bottom line is the all right. So one of and this is actually one of our best podcasts that we've ever done.
It's like, one of my. It might be my favorite.
Like, dude, we have almost 40 listens on that podcast to this date.
Yeah,
which is the highest by like maybe 5 or 10.
The indie.
Yes, the indie pod. You mean indie games podcast? And I had my friend Pedro, which was a game that I picked up on Switch, which was a lot of fun to go ahead and play. Like, I mean, I still fuck with it every now and again. But, yeah, dude, that game is up for, I believe this is where it is. So, it's Fresh Indie Game.
Okay.
Which is presented by Subway. It literally says it on there. So, Zaum is one.
What?
ZA/UM.
Oh, fuck. I thought you just had a stroke.
Zaum.
All right.
Nomada Studios.
Got it.
Oh, sorry. All right. I fucked up. I'm reading the studios. I'm reading who made it.
Oh, you're a fucking genius. Oh, right,
yeah. So Disco Elysium, I've seen on a lot of these. I might actually have to try to check that out. Pick that up. For Crisis.
Got it.
My Friend Pedro.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, boy. Outer Wilds. The Slay the Spire. And then the Untitled Goose Game.
Now, from what I saw, it looked cool.
It was fun, dude. It really was. I mean, it's strange that you talk to a banana and the banana tells you to kill people and how to kill people, but for the most part, it was a pretty fun shit. I mean, it was a pretty fun game. Yeah. So, all right. So, let's go action-adventure game. So, action-adventure game, the nominees are Borderlands 3, Control, which I have not heard of, Death Stranding, which I've heard a lot of, Resident Evil 2, which is a remaster, The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening,
which is also,
a remaster, and Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
See, now, here's the thing. Like, as much as I love both of them and I own both of them, like, it's hard for me to want to root for a remaster of a game that's, like, it's the same game. It's just got better graphics.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it had its turn if it was nominated.
And I look at it in the same way.
So, for me, it's between Borderlands 3. It's a two-horse race for me between Borderlands 3 and Death Stranding. Now, Borderlands 3, to my knowledge, I haven't heard, really, any negative criticism about at all. Now, I have heard about Death Stranding. I've heard a lot of things. I have heard that it's a very good game, but I've heard that it's also confusing some people, as for a Hideo Kojima game, doesn't surprise me because he put some wild shit together.
No, you're right.
But to me, it's a two-horse race there.
Yeah. So, best action game, Metro Exodus, Gears 5, Devil May Cry 5, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Astral Chain, which I still want to check out. I still think that's going to be an awesome game to fuck around with, because I believe that one's only on the Switch. And Apex Legends.
See, I still don't, like, just for me, I still don't like these remade, remastered games.
Being a part of it.
A part of, like, it came out, you had your shot.
They should make a category
if
for
you
it.
Want to create, yeah, best remastered, for sure.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Absolutely, that should 100%. Have its own category, because it's like, why, like, you're going to take away from something that was actually made this year. Just, you know, it's great to know that you've had a game that holds up over time.
Yeah.
But, like, if you won in 07, you shouldn't be winning in 2019.
No, I 100% agree. So, the game of the year. I mean, this is it. This is the big award.
Yep.
And there is a remaster on it. Which kind of, look, it throws me in the same one as, I mean, it throws me in the same spiral as it does you.
Yeah.
So, Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds.
Now,
I'm shocked that The Outer Worlds is on there, but I have heard amazing things about that game. Basically, Fallout in space.
Yeah.
Because it's Obsidian.
Like, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Fallout New Vegas in space.
Yeah.
Eventually,
I'll absolutely get to it.
I will probably get to Death Stranding before I get to that. I'm excited as fuck for both, but I'm a huge Hideo Kojima fan.
Well, see, then that makes more sense. See, I would jump into Outer Worlds first,
because
because of what Fallout does, I mean, is for me.
Like, Hideo Kojima games are like, it's like less of a game and more of like an experience.
Okay.
He's a genius. So
I've seen boss battles in that game that look absolutely gnarly.
I'm glad that I actually haven't seen a whole lot. So,
they did that shit on purpose.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I mean, I've seen shit that people have recorded from streams, you know what I mean, from going ahead and like Twitch type shit to where people are playing. And like I said, dude, the boss battles on that look insane. And I fully don't understand the game, but I think that's the point.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for you, but I haven't looked into it enough outside of a trailer to even try to understand what the game's about.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe if I play it, it'll. All graphics are phenomenal, by the way.
All we know is that he wears a baby as a front pack. That's about all we know.
And that it's Norman Reedus.
Yes.
But.
And everybody loves Daryl.
Yeah. But. When are these awards?
The awards are on December 12th.
December 12th.
Yes.
Now, are they still televised? Because didn't they used to be on Spike?
Well, Spike is now
I know it's
Paramount.
Not Spike anymore, but I'm saying didn't they used to?
I mean, that channel is now called Paramount.
Man, I still remember back when they had, what was it, G4?
I miss G4. Yeah. I miss G4 so much.
Morgan Webb and
especially
Adam.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, cause G4 and IGN, I mean, that's like where you had everything.
Yeah.
I miss G4 like a motherfucker, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Had its time.
Yeah. So another thing that happened, all right, so now we're getting into the news section. So another thing that happened was that Google Stadia came out.
Yeah.
That came out on November 19th.
Throwing their hat in the ring for this
for the console wars. Yeah. And look, when we finally do a console wars podcast, they're going to be part of it. It's going to be, look, hands down, it's going to be the PS5, the Scarlet. It's going to be the Switch, because you know Nintendo's not making anything newer than the Switch right now.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be the Stadia.
Yeah.
So what I've been able to gather from the Stadia with the review, so I'm looking off the review off of IGN done by Kevin Lee. Apparently, like, graphics wise, it's amazing. It is deeper. I mean, the graphics pop so much more with a Stadia going ahead and playing on a 4K TV than an Xbox X.
Okay. Wow.
Like, it just gives you better detail off of certain shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
I'm sure images are sharper and
but the detail is like the rock faces or like the moss on a tree branch. You know what I mean? Because they used Destiny 2 and they used Tomb Raider as their focal points. You know what I mean, to go ahead and base,
to show off what they could do.
And base the Stadia only off of the Xbox One X. I haven't seen anything about the PS4 with any of
the Pro.
Yeah, basically what it comes down to is the fact that graphics wise it's a lot better. But you also have to worry about broadband width. So,
okay,
if you're using your phone and you're playing for an hour on a game like Destiny, you're going to end up using almost 10 gigs in an hour.
You better hope you got a plan that could facilitate that.
Dude.
Oh, in an hour?
Yes.
And these are monthly plans.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I hope you have unlimited.
Okay, yeah, but even unlimited, they start restricting you after a while. Unlimited is not even truly limited. Yeah, yeah.
Unlimited isn't truly limited? Kind of the point.
Unlimited isn't truly unlimited. Sorry.
I know what you meant.
But, dickhead. But, yeah, once you hit, like, 22 gigs, it starts going ahead and actually tampering down your broadband width.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to worry about shit like that. And then, I mean, if you're playing this on your just regular home stuff, you know what I mean, with your Wi-Fi, you got to make sure you have enough broadband.
Why the fuck do they call it that? Let's just call it the unlimited kind of plan.
It's what they do to go ahead and make money.
I mean, I get it. I know the world we live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited to talk about that, though.
Excited to dive a little bit deeper on it. We do know somebody who has a Stadia.
Yeah,
so
friend of my wife. Well, friend of mine now.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and find a lot more about it. Because, like, right now, price-wise, it's not worth it. Not worth it at all. Everybody's saying you should wait until it ends up being, like, the $10 a month type service, even streaming service.
What is it now?
Now immediately you're paying, like, I think it was, like, $320-something. Yeah, dude, price was fucking insane.
That's crazy.
But literally, so as opposed to right now, it dropped 4 fucking days ago.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's to be expected.
But, I mean, like, latency-wise, it's just as comparable as regular gaming. But, once again, like, we don't worry about bandwidth usage. You know what I mean? With what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. So here's what I was talking about with bandwidth. So, in 30 minutes, the bandwidth was ballooned with Destiny 2 to 6.2 gigabytes and then 9.5 gigabytes after 1 hour.
Wow.
Now, a game like Destiny 2, it is immersive, it's beautiful, there's a lot of shit going on, you know what I mean? So that makes sense. But I mean, like, lesser intensive games, like, they used one called Kine. I don't even know what the game is, K-I-N-E.
Okay.
But they ended up with just under 2 gigabytes after playing for 30 minutes. But yeah, man, like, I mean, they jump into, like, the Stadia support range for resolutions and internet speeds. Basically, the best you can get is 35 Mbps.
Megabits
per second?
Yeah.
Okay. And basically, the recommended minimum is 10 megabits per second. So, but I'm guessing with the 10, you're talking about dealing with latency problems.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, dealing with the 35, you're talking 4K, HDR, 60 frames. I mean, all of it's 60 frames per second anyway, which makes it a little bit better than what we deal with consoles.
Yeah.
You mean, because it's constantly dealing with 60 frames per second, and it has a very Minority Report style gaming to where, like, it slightly anticipates what it thinks you're going to do.
Okay.
And then it works that off there in order to keep the 60 frames per second going.
Got it.
You mean, so I found that part pretty interesting. Yeah, like, when it comes down to, like, the game library, everything is, I mean, all the games, you got to pay for the games. You know what I mean, there isn't anything that's necessarily free. So, you have the Stadia Pro, which is going to be happening eventually, which is $10, $9.99 a month with 3 free months included. And then you'll receive a free game each month, and the first of which being Destiny 2.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, it's just...
I just don't think...
For gamers like us, I don't see it being something that we need to necessarily worry about. So, the Premier Edition of Stadia is $129 a month. Sorry, I had that number completely wrong when I said 320-something.
You sure did.
Yeah. Oh, no, look, I'll retcon myself. I'm fine with that. Yeah, but I mean, like, the purchasing guide from IGN, they're literally saying right now is not a good time to jump on this boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, wait for this shit to go ahead and drop, to go ahead and actually give you, like, just a standard thing to where it's $10 a month subscription and you're only paying $69 for the controller separately.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that you can use a Xbox control, like, Xbox controllers you can really use with it because they're Bluetooth enabled.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you can technically use a Pro Switch controller, or you can go ahead and use a PS4 controller also.
That's dope.
And that's what makes Stadia, you know what I mean? You mean, that's what puts them in this, you mean, in this class with everything else, because of the fact that you can go ahead and do, I mean,
what's comfortable to you.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're not forced to get used to a new style of controller if you don't want to.
Nah. So another thing that I went ahead and found was a review of Shenmue 3.
I feel like you're going to hurt me with this because Shenmue 1 and 2 were so good.
So the review was done by Kyle Hilliard, and this is also off of IGN. He did this yesterday. He went ahead and posted this. So basically what I've heard is that it's not that good. It's basically, it seems incredibly dated compared to the modern contemporaries. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Now, I wonder, because one of the things that set Shenmue apart back in the day was how much more advanced it seemed than its contemporaries. Now, I wonder if their strategy was to keep it like the other two, which would feel a little older compared to what we deal with now. So I don't know if maybe they were like, you know, we'll suffer here, but the hardcore fans that wanted this game, it'll be what they wanted.
Yeah. So the one thing that it does say is that the combat system isn't enjoyable.
I mean, I don't think it ever really was.
Okay. Well, that's super enjoyable. You're the one that played Shenmue. I never played it.
It was an old school style, like, button combination one where, like, you know, you hit X to jab, you hit X twice, it'd be a different punch. It, like, you know, very arcadey.
So overall, they gave Shenmue a 5.9 out of 10.
And this is off of what?
Off of IGN.
Man, that hurts me.
So they say straight up mediocre. Rejoining Ryo Hazuki's quest to avenge his father is exciting, but Shenmue 3 feels like a game that has ignored the innovation and progress the last 20 years of video game development. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that literally says to me that they tried to keep it like the older ones, to a fault.
Okay, now here's my question to you. I mean, since you knew about this, you knew about the Kickstarter to go ahead and, you mean, bring this up.
Yeah.
Do you know what the cap was on that Kickstarter to go ahead and say we can do this?
Because, I believe it was $1 million.
Because you know what it takes in order to develop a quality game.
And what's crazy is that as soon as that Kickstarter started, they hit that shit super fast.
Yeah, because that was within one of our first few podcasts.
Yeah.
That we talked about this.
Yeah, they hit it very fast. Shenmue, I'm not going to lie, I thought that was one of those games back in the day that I thought for sure I was one of the only people that even knew about it. It's like one of those games that you'd think you just bypass in a store immediately and you're like, oh, whatever.
Well, let's put it this way. And Anthony brought this up to us when we're talking about it. There were 400, 500 some odd reviews on it. Everybody said 10 out of 10. Five
for
stars.
For the first two, yeah.
No. The entire thing was five stars. Yeah, for the first two games.
For the first two, yeah.
Five star, 100%.
Yeah, so, and like I said, now here's what I'm wondering. Since this was a Kickstarter and they probably didn't plan on making a fuck ton of money either way, I wonder if they literally, you know, people put out games these days. They try to put out games that the masses are going to enjoy. Hardcores, casuals, all of it. And now I wonder if they made it too much like the first two, most people wouldn't be able to enjoy it if they're coming at it from, you know, games, they're modern games that they're used to playing. Like, I wonder if it's something that if you played Shenmue and then you played Shenmue 2 and then immediately went into Shenmue 3, it would feel similar. But if you play an RPG, like a modern RPG, and then play Shenmue, you're like, this thing feels like it's back in
that
the Stone Age.
That might have been what they were aiming for, to where it...
That's what I mean.
I mean, to where it felt like going ahead... Because, look, I mean, you've played Mass Effect 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So going ahead and dealing with Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, you saw the evolution of the game and the graphics within it. You mean knowing the amount of time it's been between all.
Yeah.
So Shenmue 1, 2, 3, if you're not seeing that, is that... So will that damper on your thought process of the game?
I don't know, because that also...
If the storyline doesn't add up.
If the storyline doesn't know, because the biggest part of what made Shenmue as great as it was, aside from the fact that it was, you know, it was revolutionary when it first came out, but it was the story that was so deep that is what kept you in. So, you know, just like we were talking about in the last podcast when we went through these questions and you were asking me, you know, what's more important, a good story or action? If it is a Mass Effect Andromeda situation where it doesn't hold me as much, then no, because what did I say before? I said a great story can make up for, you know, less than ideal action or wonky controls or stuff like that. So if the story doesn't even bring you in, then we got a whole problem.
Okay.
But I mean, I'll have to check it out because how much a fan I was of the first two, I'll have to check it out. And
I mean, I'm curious on the price of it. You know, I mean, because of how much they spent on doing it, on top of the fact of, you know, I mean, how much the Kickstarter brought in.
Yeah.
Because apparently, not a lot of people knew that it came out.
I didn't know it came out, and I'm a balls deep fan in Shenmue.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so that's all we have for news. So here's my question for you, sir. What are you playing?
What am I playing? Well, shit, I have options now.
You do?
I have options now. I could run through True Vault Hunter mode, which I probably will do at my own pace because the game largely will be the same.
Oh, it is. I will tell you from getting roughly halfway through the game in True Vault Hunter mode.
I will probably pick up and start my... Well, here's the thing. My plan was to pick up and start Pokemon Sword, but now I'm super interested in Shenmue 3. So now I have like a little internal conflict going on trying to figure out what, and Death Stranding too. I want to pick that up too. So
yeah,
it's tough. You know, I might be able to do both because like here's the good thing about the Switch is that
I can take it anywhere.
Yeah. I can catch a couple Pokemon while I'm pooping. I can, you know what I mean? I can bring that shit up into the bedroom while the wife's sleeping and just...
And we're back.
Yep. And we're back. So I probably will still pick that up just because, I can take that anywhere.
Plus, I need some of the Pokemon that you can catch.
Yeah, so for me, it's going to go between Pokemon Sword. That's the one I got, right, Sword?
You got Sword. Yeah. Anthony and I both have Shield.
Yeah, it's going to be between Pokemon Sword, and then I'm going to make a executive decision between Death Stranding and Shenmue, because like I said,
think about Kojima it this way, fan, almost fan. Guaranteed that and they both Death Stranding is still 60.
They both require a lot of attention too. Yeah, because,
honestly, like with Black Friday shit coming up, you know what I mean? Like you might be able to get Death Stranding for a really good price, but you also might be able to get Shenmue 3 for an even better price.
Yeah,
yeah.
And here's one good thing, you know, and this is where it would work out for me if this is what it is. If I'm right and they did just put this out basically as like a here you go to the hardcore fans, not really, really worrying about what, you know, anyone new to the franchise would think, that might work out for me, because if it's getting these horrible reviews, they're going to discount the price, and then hardcores like me are going to get it even cheaper.
True. So if you wait long enough.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's going to be between Death Stranding and Shenmue for me, and then, you know, Pokemon Sword. What about you?
I am 100% committed to Pokemon Shield right now. Like, so last week, I control the Twitter page. You know what I mean? Out of the two of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the console gaming crew. Hashtag crew members, just so everybody knows. And I went ahead and I completely forgot on Friday to do a follow Friday last week. Mm-hmm. So I did one on Saturday saying I got so caught up with Pokemon Shield
that you forgot
that I forgot about follow Friday. So here's a follow. Here's basically a follow Saturday.
Yeah.
Into which I will say for our fans that, you mean that follow our Twitter account. Thank you. Yeah. Over the last few weeks, we have been building a lot of following within the Twitter community, and it has been absolutely awesome. And I will contribute some of that to the Spaghetti Policy Podcast guys. Yeah. I mean, Jacob and Alex, cause I know they're sending people our way, which is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, there's been some people sending people our way, and just anyone that comes across us and checks us out. I mean, it's still, like I said, it's still wild to me every day to think that anyone outside of our group of people cares at all to listen to what we had to say.
Like, dude, it's hilarious. Yo, we have a following of consistent listeners in New Zealand and UK.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dude. That is the
That's beyond cool.
That is the coolest fucking thing that I have heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely love it. Yo, for real, shout out to the people. I mean, shout out to the Kiwis. You guys are fucking badass. And shout out to the Brits, man. Love you guys.
Yeah. Nah, we hope that everybody
And, of course, the U.S., Kathy, man. Love y'all always, but...
We hope that people, you know, keep listening. And through all our social media, we hope people, like, really on a regular basis start, you know, hitting us with anything they might want us to talk about or... go over anything like that.
Speaking of that, I want to go ahead and just quick throw this out before we have Anthony do the outro. I believe towards the end of the year, we're going to do a Ask Me Anything podcast to where that we're just going to ask our followers, our listeners to go ahead and just put up any questions whatsoever. Anything at all. We'll answer it.
Yeah.
So If you want to go ahead and contribute to that, to any questions for us, send them to consolegamingcrew@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Like, that's the main way for us to go ahead and get them and read through them and go ahead and make sure we can answer them. I'll be the one probably seeing them first and foremost, and then Andy will go ahead and be the one to answer everything straight off the cuff.
Yeah, and outside of your email, please leave, you know, who you are, where you're from, so we can properly, you know, address it when we answer.
Oh, yeah,
things.
And absolutely. Yeah, yeah, we will go ahead and address everybody accordingly.
Yeah.
So, dude, this has been fun.
Yeah.
One of the longer ones we've had, but I feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, we had a lot to cover.
Yeah. So, until next time, y'all.
Heyo! What's up, crew members and crewpies? It's time to connect with CGC. As always, you can give us our feedback and reach out to us on consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. We've got our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, and our YouTube. We are going to have a Twitch coming up soon. I'm going to have the other guys take care of that in a little bit. But please reach out to us on Facebook and Instagram. It's going to be Console Gaming Crew, and our Twitter handle is @ConsoleCrew. Again, feedback is fantastic, so please reach out to us. You know, give us your feedback on what you think, what we can do to improve everything. Also, please check us out on our webpage, which is consolegamingcrew.com. There's always updated information there, stories and all that other kind of cool stuff. And as always, game on.